Hey, it's so good to welcome you to Fields Church Online, and we are so pleased that you've tuned in for this message. No matter what's going on in your world right now, we pray that you come away feeling encouraged by this message.
So that we could have and expect and experience eternal life with you, Father God. Not just in this world to come, and not just here, Father, but with you forever, for eternity. And we're so thankful and grateful for that. Father, I'm so grateful and thankful for the privilege that I've had, my wife and I have had, to lead this church for 26 years. And I know, Father, like Jennifer, I just want to say, I'm just interrupting that prayer, but God is not finished with you yet. I believe God has a plan for you, as old as you are, or as young as you are, God has a plan for each and every one of us. So that's a message for me as well. God's not finished with us yet either. So Father, I thank you. As I just share from my heart a little bit this morning about where we are as a church and what we believe God is saying to us, I just thank you that hearts are open, hearts are prepared and excited. This is a scary thought, the thought of coming to a place of handing a church over to somebody else. That's very scary, but it's very exciting as well. And Esther and I are really excited for the future. And I thank you that every heart is just going to engage with what I'm going to share this morning. And we give you alone praise and glory for all these things, Jesus. Amen. If you love the Lord, you'll say amen. Well, we're not going anywhere yet, so it's not like next week we're sort of going off. So just bear with me this morning. Is everybody all right? Turn to your neighbor and say, you look amazing this morning. Yeah, so I'm going to pause this series that we're doing on the Godhead. I'm going to just talk a little bit about transition, our journey of transition as a church. And firstly, I just want to apologize for not keeping everyone updated. But I promise to keep everybody informed more often as we move on and forward through the end of this year, going into the start of next year. And as young as Esther and I are, you see, again, I'm only 40. I got saved in 1982. I was just looking at Josh there. Thanks for a great message, Josh, on the painting. Talk about paintings. Josh did an incredible message. You've got to listen to it. It's on our podcasts. I got to listen to this message. It was absolutely brilliant. I think only you could carry that off, Josh. It was amazing. Can we give Josh a round of applause? And I believe you made a statement that Kim Kardashian is a theologian or something like that. Yes, that's true. I've seen it myself. I expected something like that to be mentioned in one of his preaches. But he also mentioned chocolate digestives, which are really important in the context of church, aren't they? Okay. So Esther and I, we can't lead this church forever. We do realize that. And we've been in a transition for some time. I just want to share a little bit about our backstory before I come back to that. Esther and I are English. We married in 1976. If you don't know when that is, Google it. Look up Google, because I'm sure for a lot of you from the year 2000 you can remember, but not way back then. And we emigrated to South Africa because my wife's parents were living there at the time. And that was in 1980. Again, Google the date if you're not sure about that. 2 years later, we gave our lives to Jesus, met a friend of the family. He was a missionary, and he came back from his mission field, and I asked him a question, and he shared the love of Jesus with us. And I wasn't seeking God. I wasn't looking for God. I didn't need God. And then we found God, or God found us, and we gave our lives to Jesus in 1982. We knelt in this guy's lounge at 2 a.m. and gave our lives to Jesus. It was sort of supernatural. He then took us to this massive, great church in Johannesburg, probably about 6,000 members at the time. And I'd never seen anything like it. I thought I was going to a concert when this guy, we drove into this parking lot, and there were hundreds of cars. Anyone from South Africa that have been to churches like that? Okay. Or anyone from England? Sorry. We have big churches in England. You know, the average church in America, I heard a guy say that. He had 30,000 people in his church, and he was very humble, and he said, you know what? Most churches, this isn't the norm. Most churches in America are 40 people. That's what he said. I thought that was very humbling. Anyway, we got to this big church. We served in this church for a number of years. And we really had a call to come back to the UK at some point. And a guy in our children's ministry who was a pastor saw something in Esther and I that we didn't see, and he said, I'd like to, you know, you to consider to become lay pastors and, you know, join us in ministry and just learn the ropes. And that's what we did for a couple of years, and then we became full-time pastors. We were both ordained, both Esther and I were ordained, we had this desire to come back to the UK, to our own land. God gave us that promise in Jeremiah 29:11, and I know that's for the Jews. I know that God's going to take them back to the land that he promised them, but that's how God spoke to me and Esther through that message. And we've been on the craziest journey. In 1997, we had the call to come back to England. I said, I'll go anywhere in England that you call me to. And where did God send me? It is a question. It's probably a trick question, but I just want to get you engaged a little bit. Is that all right? I feel a little alone up here. It's quite lonely up here sometimes. Yeah, Ipswich, Suffolk. God showed me that on a map. I didn't know where we were going to go, and I couldn't sleep one night. I got up. Esther was laying in bed sleeping, and I got a map out of England, and I said, I'll go anywhere in England, not Scotland, like, oh, what's his up, face is up there. I said, anywhere in England you show me, and after a little while, God showed me Suffolk. He said, I'm going to take you to a dry place. You know, it's one of the driest places in the country. Did you know that, Suffolk? It has the same rainfall that Johannesburg has in a year. Did you know that? That's a bit of useless information. Tell your neighbour, and they'll say that's astounding. Say, in Suffolk has the same amount of rainfall as Johannesburg. They're not going to believe you. Just tell them that. That's true. See, they think you're very wise now, very clever. Okay, so, like I said, this transition, so we've served. It's a privilege. This isn't a job. We really believe that Esther and I were called to ministry, and I think that's really important, and I want to emphasize that today, because there are some that are, you know, called and sent, and there are some that just went. Do you understand that? Some people just start churches without being trained and equipped and sent by a mother church, and if you've done that, that's down to you, that's between you and God, but I really believe that there's a call on people's lives to do what we do. Because when the rubber meets the road, you know, I look at the joys. I look at all of you here today and the many people that have come through this church and gone on to other things, like our sister Jennifer is going to do. And I think if that's the right thing for you, Jennifer, Jesus is coming back for one church. He's not coming back for Fields Church. Not coming back for the Anglican Church or the Baptist Church or anybody else. He's coming for his church. And he wants his church to be unified. So praise God. Let's believe that River of Life is just going to be filled to overflowing. Amen. And I believe people are called to churches. And this is a joy for me to see all you people out here. There's really challenging times in ministry that aren't very good, but they build character. Everyone say character. Tell your neighbor, say, you need character. Come on, tell them. Then say it back to the other person. They'll be shocked. So this isn't just a job or a career path. And I've known ministers. Sadly, I met a minister friend. He became a friend of mine. And he said he went to Bible school. There were 10 of us in the class. 2 of us were saved. The other 8, it was just a career path for them. This is not a career path. Let's have a look at a verse of scripture. So I'm going to share a couple of verses. I'm going to share for about 3 hours. And then Andrew's going to share for another 4 hours. You know, when Andrew gets up, he spends longer sharing than I do. Just doing the notices, he does that. But you're my friend. You're not offended by that, are you, Andrew? Come on, you need to be dead. Say, I'm dead.
I'm dead.
I can't be offended. Say that. Because more might be coming. More might be coming. Okay, Ephesians 4:11. These verses might be very familiar to you, but to me they are really important. It says here in Ephesians 4:11, and he himself. Who's the he referred to in this verse? Who do we think that is? Shout it out. Gee, God. Okay, God. So it's God. So he himself gave some to be apostles. Everyone say some. Some to be apostles, some prophets. Everyone say some. Some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, some. You know that word gave in the Greek? I know you want to know what that means. Look at that. Just this simple word, gave. If we looked at that in our English, it explains nothing really. But when we look at words in our Bibles, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and the New Testament in Greek. But when we look at simple English words like this in another language, look how descriptive they are. And he gave some to be. What does that word mean? It means to commission, to appoint to an office. When we left South Africa, we were commissioned to come to England to plant this church from scratch. I want to tell you something. I want to let you know a secret. We hadn't got a clue. Don't tell anyone, will you? Kimini, just don't tell Danny, will you? Okay. We hadn't got a clue what we were doing. Is that a surprise to you? You know, we had passion. We had the call of God. But we'd never planted a church before. We're not planting a church in South Africa where our mother church is, where they can visit and encourage us, like Paul when he planted a church. He went into the other churches to encourage them. He went to those churches that he planted. And if he couldn't go, he would send someone else to go to those churches. And we came here, didn't know anybody. Hadn't got a clue. We came here with £600 in our pocket. That's what we had. But you know what? It's not about the money. If you've got the call of God on your life, God will pay for what he's going to send you to do. Amen? You say amen to that. So we used our faith, a lot of faith, to get here and plant this church. It wasn't simple. Taking over a church, I think, is a little easier, but starting from something from scratch. And again, let me tell you that God gets the glory for that. See, he uses simple, ordinary people, and he empowers them to do what he calls them to do. So say this after me. God has a plan for me, even in church, for me to do something to glorify him. So we were called in 1997 to come here. And what we call these people, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor and teacher, we call them the fivefold ministry. And they are gifts to the body. And what are they there for? What are they meant to do? Let's have a look at the next verse. And you might know this verse. For the equipping of the saints, say this, I'm a saint and I need to be equipped. Why do you need to be equipped? The next part of the verse says, for the work of ministry. Say that I'm called and to be equipped. For, you're not saying, there's only a few people saying it, you know. So you're all equipped. God wants to equip all of you. Why is that? To do what? Works of ministry. Why is that? For the edifying of the body of Christ. When you find your place in a church, in ministry, you don't have to be a pastor. God hasn't called everyone to be a pastor, but he's called all of us to be ministers. Say that. I am a minister for the gospel. And we must realize that God called individuals. He called Abraham. He called Moses. He called Joshua. He called David. These people weren't self-appointed. They didn't just go off. They were called by God to do a specific thing. And you know, despite people's experiences, I was chatting to some friends last week, I'll come and mention, I'll let you know who they are in a second, because we went to see them last week to talk about what I was going to share today. And we were talking about how churches are governed. And I know where some of you have come from. I don't know where you've all come from or what church background you have. But church governance is a real minefield. It really is. It's not one size fits all, and all churches have the same kind of governance. And for me, it's very strange to come here and find out that there are so many ways that a church is governed and run by elders and trustees. They have all those things in them. But I believe it's God calls men of God to plant churches. And for these other people, he builds a team around him to help him in the work that he's got to do. But it is really down to one person leading a church forward. That's what I truly believe. This is what this says, these verses talk about. You remember when the Israelites wanted a king? You know, the church isn't a democracy. We're not all going to vote the next pastor in. You know, when the Israelites wanted a king, they'd rejected God as their king. And God said, go ahead, appoint your own king. Because they'd rejected him. And that was not God's choice. You know, in running this church for the last 26 years, we've had to use our faith. And we've trusted God every step of the way. And we're going to continue to trust God every step of the way until he leads us, until we take a step back and raise up the next pastors to take the church on. And I want to say this, family, because you are a family, that God is faithful. God is faithful. He pays for what he orders. He will anoint a work. And sometimes churches, they do. They go up and down. People come in, people go out. And you've got to expect that. But our church is now 26 years old, and I think it's maturing. I think it's got to that place of maturity. And we've got a lot of people in this church that have been with us many, many years, some almost as long as we've been here. Is that right, Jane and Simon? 25 years, I think you've been with us. And John and Julie, over 20 years. Mark was the first person in the church, he and his family at the time. And it's great to have great people around you that help building a work, because it takes everybody. Say that, it takes everybody. Turn to your neighbor. I think he's talking to you. Say that. So we've trusted God all this time, and we're going to continue to trust God until he returns. And this verse is one of our go-to verses. And it's funny that Mark read this in the prayer meeting this morning. I hope you didn't get the other verse, otherwise I'd have thought you've preached my message just in the prayer meeting. We stood on these words for more than 26 years, as long as we've been Christians, and that's 40 years. 30 years in full-time ministry, 26 years here. And it says, I know it off by heart, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Everything we do, we have to acknowledge him, that he's doing the work. He gets the glory. Do you understand that? And he will lead and direct your path. We've stuck by those words. We've had that verse in our hearts for all these years. And when times get tough, and they get tough, John, don't they, in ministry? Do they ever get tough? It's a walk in the park ministry, isn't it? You know, you can sit on the beach Monday with your feet up, pina colada there, and just think, well, church will run itself. You're there from Monday to Saturday, and then you rock up Sunday and give a message. It's that simple, isn't it, John? You go through challenging times, don't we, Trevor? It's not easy running a church. But the joys of running a church and having people in, to see people's lives transformed and changed is amazing. And when I look out here, I see lives transformed and changed from darkness to light. That's the work of God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That was a good place for you to shout, amen. Amen. And we're going to continue to trust God until he raises those other pastors up. So what have we been up to? I'm just going to go through a couple of things that we've been up to. We haven't just been sitting around. About 2.5 years ago, we engaged the services of Steve and Rachel Morstan. They're part of the leadership of Soul Church, but they also have their own ministry where they coach and prepare churches for transition. So we engaged their services, and they came and coached Esther and myself and spoke into the lives of our leaders for 2.5 years. And one thing I want to make very clear from the outset, we are not going to become a Soul Church. Let's not assume things because my daughter came and preached a couple of months ago. Let's not assume that we're going to become a Soul Church. We're not. That's not the case. But we met these people, Steve and Rachel, who was here at the 25th celebration. They were here ministering. That's the couple I'm talking about. So they spent two years with Esther and myself coaching us and developing our leadership skills so that we could develop our teams and build ourselves out of the church. I've got to do myself out of a job in some way. And what we've been doing for the last 2.5 years is raising up other people. These are some of the things that we've been doing in 2.5 years. We haven't been sitting on the beach, drinking pina coladas, waiting for Jesus to come. So this is what we've done. We ran two leadership training courses where 38 people attended the courses. We ran life group training for 26 people going through the course. We raised up two life group coordinators, planted another life group. So these are just some of the things that we've been up to. We ran a prayer team training course for 24 people. At the end of the service, we're going to have people from our prayer team come here. They're going to be out the front here somewhere. They've got lanyards on it. And if you need prayer for anything, even if you don't need prayer, come and have a chat with them and they'll pray for you. Is that all right? For any need that you may have, come and they'll pray for you. I think it's really important to empower people in ministry so that they can do the work as well. We've raised up 5 pairs of team leaders for these prayer teams. So we've got 20-odd people in these prayer teams. We raised these people up. We started an intercessory prayer group praying every 2 weeks. We ran a discipleship course. We raised up 10 teachers and preachers to take on some of the teaching. Most of the time, I would have done all of the teaching between Andrew and myself and maybe some guest speakers that we had in. But now what I realized what we needed to do was raise up 10 people to talk. Josh is one of them. I know Josh has done some preaching before and teaching before in other churches. He's a chaplain in a school. And you know, we have our other guys and ladies as well coming up to share the word of life. I think that's really important to do that, to train others and equip others and see gifts in people. I saw that gift in Andrew, been in the church a long time, and I said, have you ever preached? He came here and joined our church, and I said, have you ever preached? He said, no. I said, why not? He said, I don't know. I said, I think you have a gift of teaching. And Andrew's one of the people that we've trained up in this church to teach and preach, and he does an amazing job, doesn't he? Yeah. You can give Andrew a clap if you want. This is what the early church went and did. They raised up other people. Jesus couldn't do it on his own. He was one man filled with the Spirit. That's why he had 12 disciples. And if they got those guys filled with the Spirit, then the 120 in the upper room. And they went to the known world, including Ipswich. I think they came to Ipswich at some point, or they sent someone from Ipswich that was anointed to come here and start a church, maybe. Maybe. And this is how the church grows, isn't it? We need everybody to be trained and equipped. Okay, the other thing we've done, let's have a look at this. We've appointed someone to head up our discipleship course and identified two other people to join the team. We've raised up a chair of trustees. I'm a trustee. I used to be the chair. We've raised up Mark as a chair of trustees. You're doing a great job. And thank you to all of our trustees for doing a great job as well. That's great. And we've raised up three new trustees, in fact, four now. Another one has joined us, which is amazing. You know, Esther's run a prayer meeting since lockdown to now. Almost every day they have a prayer meeting. People come on and they pray for the needs of the church. And I think it's really important that we do that kind of thing. And Esther and I just want to say that Esther and I are really passionate about this church. We really are. But we know we can't run it forever. We are looking not just... My passion was to raise up a son from within the house. I thought that was very important at the time. But we don't want to put God in a box, and we are looking further afield for the right people to come along and come alongside us for a season or a little season and then get them to take on the church. I think that's really important. And you have a role to play as well. What can you do to help us? What do you think you could do to help us in that? Number one, you can pray for us. We've got a prayer card that we're going to show you in a minute. It might be on your chair. And we're going to get you to pray. You can take that prayer card home. And I want all of the church to start praying about God's will to be done in this church. You know, we're going to be happy when we release the reins. We're not holding on to the reins so tightly that we can't let them go. We've been releasing those reins, like I say, training up other people to take on responsibility in the church. So if we see a gift in you, there's a reason for that. And we'd like, you know, nothing more than to empower people that have gifts to use those gifts in the context of church. Because sadly, in the old days, John, it was just the vicar that did everything. Is that right? Probably did everything, put everything out, put all the notices out on the chairs and everything else, led the hymns, did the preaching and did the praying and everything else. That's not the way the modern church should be today, should it? And sadly, a lot of churches have one minister and five or six parishes to look after. It shouldn't be. It really shouldn't. You know, Jesus is going to come soon and he needs his body, the church, to stand up and rise up. He needs his body, the church, to stand up and rise up. That's everyone in it. You're the church. This building isn't the church, you're the church. It needs every one of us to get engaged and do what we can do to propagate the gospel, to share the love of Christ with those who don't know Jesus. Someone shared the love of Jesus with you and you gave your life to Jesus and you're here today, and thank God for that. So we're looking outside as well. We know quite a few people that we're talking to. Let me just make one thing very clear. We don't have a timeline for the potential new pastors yet. But watch this space. We're not going to be here forever. I'm not going to be 101 leading the church. I want to ride off on my bike with my wife on the back into the sunset and wave a potential goodbye to you, or au revoir for now, for a little while. Is that all right? I can't wait to do that. There's part of me that just wants to sit on the beach and do nothing. But until such time as God calls the right people here, I don't believe it's going to be too long. I really don't. So you'll have to put up with me for a while. Turn to your neighbor and say, you might have to put up with him for a little while. And let's get behind. We need everyone to engage in a church. We've got great needs in our children's ministry, our youth, the people that serve. And we're going to clap them in a minute. We've got people that welcome you at the door. They come here early in the morning. You've got people at the cafe serving you tea and coffee. You've got people up here that spend I don't know how long worshiping God and bringing a few songs here to worship him, and so that you can engage as well. So let's give them a round of applause. Every volunteer. Every volunteer that volunteers in the church, they don't get paid for this. They don't. For 2024, we've still got to make plans. I can't just sit idly by and do nothing. So this is what we want to aim for 2024. We want more prayer ministry training that we want to do, raise up other people, train them and teach them how to pray and be part of our team. We want to multiply life groups. I want to see life groups everywhere. God gave us a vision years ago, Andrew, didn't he, about having wells everywhere. We got people coming from all around the county, not just Ipswich. And we want life groups everywhere. Raise up new life group leaders. We want to plant new life groups. We want to run Alpha next year. Running discipleship courses as well, discipleship groups. I think that's really important to disciple people. Jesus said, go into all the world and make converts. Is that what he said? No, he said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Why do we need disciples? So that we can do what Jesus did, okay? We're going to run some interest groups. We're going to start this next year in January. So we're going to run life groups, and then the fourth week, we're going to have and run interest groups. People really want these things. One of our values is witness. What are the other three? Welcome, worship, word, and witness. How often do we witness? On a weekly basis. If we had interest groups, we could invite people that are unsaved, like petrol heads. Is that right, Steve? Hey, and we've seen people come to faith. Is that right? We sit in a shed. There's something about men and women in sheds looking at dirty motorbikes, grease, oil everywhere. We've got mugs that are filthy that, no, you know, you wouldn't offer anyone that mug. And we're eating chips, stuffing our face with chips, and we're talking about motorcycles and I don't know what else. But we've seen people come to faith through that. Is that true? You know, if you want to do a games evening, you can invite people that are not saved to your games evening. And they might say, what are you doing on Sunday? I'm going to church. Oh, really? So this is what we're going to aim at. Petrol heads. Let's hear it for the petrol heads. Come on. I know there's some lady petrol heads as well. Let's hear it from the ladies. Come on. Valor men's group. Yes, we're going to get the guys back again. There's a lot of guys in the church that play golf. So we're going to maybe have golf as well. Looking at Philip over there. I know you like quizzes, Philip. Is that right? I know Mark does as well. He's partial to a little quiz. Maybe games, crafts, walking, cycling, and we want a motorcycle group as well. I've just finished sharing my little bit, and I probably went a little over than I should have done, but I hope more than anything that you sort of catch our heart, that we've given our life to this church. This is our life, and we've done that gladly, and I hope we've served you with humility, and we plan to serve you for as long as we can until we get the right people to come and take the church on. I've seen many churches transition and things have gone really well. Sometimes they go really badly and churches don't survive. That's really sad. And Esther and I have a real responsibility to make sure that doesn't happen. And we have wise men around us. I've got three or four men that I'm accountable to, and they pray with me regularly. I value their support, and I'll be consulting with them, our leaders and our trustees as well, because we value them too for all the work that they do in the church. So bless you. Thank you. We're going to ask Andrew to come up for a few minutes.
Brilliant. Thank you. Thank you. I don't need a chair. That's all right. I'm going to share a little bit about our part to play in the church moving forward, because we are part of a family and we're here together to work together for what God is doing in and amongst us and supporting Pastor Richard and Esther. And this is very important to see where we fit and where we participate in God's plan and purpose. Now, it must be just a few years ago when I was in my early 20s that I read an amazing book. It was called Chasing the Dragon by Jackie Pullinger. Now, can I have a show of hands? Who here has heard of Jackie Pullinger and Chasing the Dragon? quite a few. And they're generally of a slightly more mature age as well. Because this book was written as an account of the life of Jackie Pullinger, who was called to be a missionary, and the subsequent results of her following God's calling. And it was into the drug dens and the prostitute houses in the walled city in Hong Kong, and seeing the lives of many changed by the love of God and the power of the Holy Spirit delivering people in a miraculous way. You can imagine, as a young man, a story like that was quite, I was quite impressed and challenged, and my horizons as to what God can and is doing in the world were widened considerably. But I was also appalled and offended and a bit upset by reading that book, because the story starts out with this young woman. She was had just left college, so she was probably about the same age as I was then, or even younger. So think about 20 or something. And she was just being challenged in a walk with God to come back to faith in God, and God renewed in her a desire to be a missionary and go out and share the faith that she had. And she had this call from God to go. But God didn't say any more than that. Just go. Well, that's an appalling thing to say to a 20-year-old. Go. Just go. You know, go. Would any father say to their daughter, just go? And this perplexed her. And all she had from the Lord was this. He said, go where I will show you. Go where I will lead you. And she asked, she got into a conversation with an Anglican vicar. It's a very dangerous thing to do, to get in a conversation with an Anglican vicar sometimes. Because some of them have the habit of swanning off halfway around the world, don't they, to preach and speak in ridiculous places like Madagascar or whatever. So be careful if you speak to an Anglican vicar. Some of them can be a bit crazy. Just a warning. And this one must have been, because he suggested to Jackie, well, why don't you just get on a boat and see where God takes you? Now, I don't know many Anglican vicars who say things like that. It must have been God's word to Jackie through him at that point. And that's what Jackie did. She just got on a boat that was going halfway around the world with the instruction of, when you get to a place where God says, get off, get off. Without a missionary organization to support her, without a plan, just a promise. I was appalled at that. I thought, what kind of... I just thought, God, just don't do that to me. You know, I'm a Suffolk boy, Sabian. And Suffolk boys, Scotland is foreign, isn't it? But I thought, well, you know, how can you go out and start something with only a promise but not a plan? But God knew that you don't need a plan, you just need him. He said, you go and I will show you. If you go, I will lead you. And Jackie herself was reminded that this was not without precedent. And she was reminded of Abraham, or Abram, as he was then, living in a city called Haran. And God said to him, go, just go. I will show you where to go, but I want you to go. And this is how God, more often than not, works in our lives. He doesn't show the whole plan before we go. He just one step at a time. He says, if you take a step, I will direct you. And You know, we see in, or I see in Richard and Esther, a couple who did just that. You know, Abraham was sent out with a promise and a blessing. God said to him, "You go, but wherever you go, I will bless you. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you." So that's all that Abraham had from the Lord. And Richard, you set out with a promise from Proverbs, and to trust in the Lord with all your heart, and to lean not onto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And I've seen in the years here in Fields Church that God has done just that and directed your paths. And this is an amazing church to be in. I can't say that my experience of churches has been extensive. I've been in a few before coming here. But what I found remarkable about this church is this is a big church. And what do I mean by that? I mean that I've seen many people come into this church, be touched, helped, strengthened, encouraged, delivered, just as Jennifer has shared this morning, and then gone out and gone on. So I've seen many come in through this church and been affected and touched by the love of God here. In previous churches I've been in, they can be quite stagnant. And you see the same people come and the same people go. And not always lives changed in such a significant and radical way. When I joined the church, I had started coming on the kind of just an intermittent basis, and then I had quite a serious accident. And you came, Richard and Esther, you came to visit me in hospital. I hardly knew you then. I don't think I've even spoken to you, and you came to visit me. And then subsequent to that, do you remember, John, Julie, you used to pick me up, didn't you? Because I couldn't drive for a while afterwards, and you were living in Debenham then, and you used to come by and pick me up with the girls and bring me to church on a regular basis. And then after a while, when I was able to drive myself again, I found myself driving along Humberdoosie Lane on the way to church one Sunday morning, and I found myself in my mind just asking the question, Lord, why have you brought me to this church? Why am I in this church? It was because I just seemed to have happened to be there by circumstance more than purpose. And that question was, am I here for a purpose? And it's one of those rare occasions when you just know that God speaks into your heart. And he said, listen to me. He said, you're here to be a friend to Richard. What? I hardly know the man. So I just held that in my heart. But after 20 years, I have the privilege and the honor of standing here in support of Richard and Esther in what God is doing here. And I realized that what God called me to do was to be a support to the man, not a support to the plan. And that's important because I wasn't called to support Richard. I wasn't called because he's the most dynamic, capable man. I was called to support him because he knew he wasn't any of those. But he knew he needed God. And every step of the way in this church, he's been looking to the Lord for the next step. And that is the kind of man you want to be, or woman you want to be standing with. Not somebody who looks like they've got it all together, who looks like they're the capable one. You're looking for the person who's trusting in the Lord. Why does God sometimes not always give you the whole plan? Because if he did, we'll be looking to the plan and not to him, won't we? Because our natural inclination is to trust in our natural abilities, in procedures, in the things that have gone before. And God always wants us to keep us looking to him and trusting him. So if you might have a question, as I don't see a plan that satisfies my expectations for Fields Church moving forward, then good. Because I want you to keep looking to the Lord and know that he has a plan. We've mentioned this before, in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think or have, or the plans that I have towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope." So I'm not saying there is no plan. God has the plan. You want to be certain and sure of that. I'm in no doubt that God has a plan for the future and the continuation of this family. And I know Richard and Esther are not going to retire, because I know God's got things in his heart for him, for them to do beyond pastoring this church. So no sitting back, wherever it was on a beach with your pina colada. I'm sorry. That's hardly going to happen. Somebody got that. Bikers there. But it doesn't, you know, often we stop reading at verse 11, but it goes on in verse 12, and it says this. It says, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart, says the Lord." And it's an echo with what you will be receiving here in this prayer. It says, "We declare our trust in you, Lord, leaning not to our own understanding, seeking you, your will and purpose in all that we do, knowing that as we submit to you, you will make our paths straight." Our part is to pray and to seek the Lord with all our heart, and to submit to him and humble ourselves before him. Because we want to be sure that we keep to his plan, to his purpose, and not to manufacture our own. Because that's often, if we feel as though we're in a place of desperation, that's what our intention is to do. Our prayer is not one of desperation, it's one of expectation. Absolutely. I am excited. I'm really excited, because I know when I get to a place in my life where I don't know where the next step is coming, I get excited. Because God's got a plan. And I've seen this happen time and time again here in Fields Church, where we come to a place, you know, a prime example is when we outgrew Cedarwood School. And for a few years, we were looking, weren't we? And every door seemed to be closed, and we couldn't find, and people saying, "You should be doing something, you should be doing something." But we kept trusting God, patiently waiting, looking, trying doors until the right one opened. This door here at Kesgrove School was closed. We had tried it until the right time, and it opened. And what a blessing it has been and will be. And that's just one example of how God is moving in the life through Fields Church. So I'm really excited. And I want to invite Richard and Esther, Richard up, and our leaders, and Mark, and all the trustees, please, to come up if you're willing and would like to, because we're just going to pray together. Pray a blessing over and for the church. And I want to hand over to Kimini to lead us in that prayer. Thank you.
Thank you. Hopefully you're feeling as excited and as encouraged as we are. They just keep coming, don't they? It's great. I just wanted to kind of, when Richard asked if I would kind of lead the church in a prayer, I was like, oh gosh, what a responsibility. But I think that the card that you've been given is, you know, we're talking about words being really powerful, the words that we speak, and you know, there's life in the power of the tongue. And I think it's really important that we continue to speak these words over Richard Nestor and over the church and over the church family here as well. So I'm just going to read this. And if you want to read it along with me, I'd encourage you to do that. And we're just going to have this moment as sort of the beginning of really pressing into to what God has for us. So if you'd like to if you're able and you'd like to, please stand with us. If you're a visitor here with us, you're welcome to join in with us as well. And we're just going to read this together and just declare this over our church, over Rich and Nesta. So thank you, Heavenly Father, for Fields Church family, where we see your faithful promise to us as yes and amen. We continue to put our hope in you as you grow what you have started, joining our faith with Pastor Richard and Pastor Esther in the promise you have given. We declare our trust in you, Lord, leaning not to our own understanding, seeking your will and purpose in all that we do, knowing that as we submit to you, you will make our path straight. Amen. Yeah, thank you, God, for this moment, for this reminder, Lord, that you have a plan for us, for this church, for Richard and Esther, for each one, for each individual here, to prosper, that you are faithful to complete the work that you have started. And we trust you, Lord. This is us standing here declaring that we trust you with the future. We're excited for what you have ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.
I don't know if any of the other leaders, if they've got anything to just share briefly, just go ahead and do that if you want the mic.
We were joking at the start about there were going to be three songs today, and we talked about, yeah, but one of them's going to be a really, really, really long song. We might have, like Tubular Bells was mentioned or something like that. But it made me think of these really long songs, like a long orchestral piece or something like that, and you have a theme that runs through it, doesn't it? It starts, and maybe it's a really long piece, half an hour or more, and it the theme changes, and you get highs and lows, and maybe you get different points. But you can still tell at the end that it was the same thing that started, but it's evolved, it's generated through generations. And I sort of feel that maybe Fields Church, you know, this theme runs through the whole time. And the theme Andrew mentioned about being, you know, he wasn't really know the pastors, but they came to pray for him. As you probably know that when I came to this church, we visited, I came off my push bike the next day, I was in A&E, this whole church was praying for me. And they didn't even know where I lived. They didn't know. All they knew was my name was Steve. And the word got round, and they were all praying for me. A church that prays for somebody they don't know is a church I want to be part of, and that's why we're here. So I think this theme is continuing. It's all an orchestra, like an orchestral piece, and we're reaching a different point. It's coming, you know, like it builds to a bit of a crescendo before there's a slight change in the music, but it's going to carry on, and we're all part of that. We're all in the orchestra. You know, we've all got an instrument to play. We've all got a part to play. God's probably the conductor. It's not Richard. It's God's the conductor. We want God to conduct. But we've all got a part to play. So I do ask you all to pray for this church and the future of this church. You know that we've got this Heart for the House banner up here. It says some of the things we have a vision for. We know God stands on his promises. But it also talk about our church verse, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. How relevant does this sound? Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and then these things will be given unto you. So don't go and try and get the things. Seek God. Do you want to join me? Because every day at 6:33 in the evening, everybody laughs, my watch goes off to remind me to pray for the church. It's Matthew 6:33. So 6:33 p.m. every day I pray for the church. Why don't you join me in that, 6:33 every day? Let's just seek first the kingdom of God and remember that we've all got a part to play in this orchestra.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you. Okay.
You don't know what you've just done. Right. Don't have your lunch just yet. I was reading something the other day about Elvis Presley and about his death. And one of the issues was he had things inside him which had been there for 4 months and they hadn't passed through. And we've all received from God, haven't we? We would be a really unhealthy church. We would be really unhealthy believers and individuals and a church if we didn't let that flow through. So one of the big things that sort of said to me was, I'm not going to be very healthy if things don't pass through me. We've all received from God, haven't we? Should we let that flow through? Should we let that flow through as a church and as individuals to the people we meet every day? Often we think it's the pastor's responsibility. It's their job. They're the ones who have to go out and speak and evangelize and all that. We have to do it in our everyday lives, don't we? We all reach hundreds of people during the week. Is God's love flowing through us? Is what we have received, are we passing that on? That's a challenge to me, and I hope that's a challenge to you as an individual and us as a church. So, sorry.
I just want to add that I love this church, and I don't know how long I've been here now, 12 years? 11, 12 years now. But it's always felt like home. And it's a proper church. And what I mean by that is it's not the quantity of what goes on, it's the quality of what goes on. And what I mean by that is it's a God-first, word-centered teaching church. And you've got to have that in church. So that's the whole reason why we're all stood up here as leaders, why you're all here as congregation, why Richard pastors, is because we believe in a God first who is so good, so great, and he does far more than we can ever think, ask, or imagine. We wouldn't be here if we didn't serve that God. This church wouldn't be here if we didn't serve that God. Richard would not be the pastor if he didn't serve that God. So what I love about the church is it's not just one demographic. It's multi-generational, it's multicultural, it's all experiences. That's what I mean by it's proper church. It's family brought from all over the world. We've got multinationalities, we've got ages, you know, experiences, backgrounds, all that kind of stuff. And that's why the quality is so good. So just because we're not like a massive church doesn't mean it's not a proper church. It comes from the quality and the heart. And when you look at like the leadership team, none of us have got it together. It's like we're up here purely by the grace of God. So is Richard. And we believe in what God is doing going forward. We believe that it's still going to be a church of quality, of character, of this family feel. And when you're praying for Richard, I really just ask that you would pray for us as leaders as well, that we would be discerning and wise in both how we support Richard, but also then how do we lead in our own departments as such. So I just really love this church. I'm so excited about what's going to be going next.
Okay. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah, we're only going to pray and close the service. Thank you, guys. Really appreciate everyone here. Thank you, Father God, for this day. Thank you that Jesus said he's building his church. He is building it. And we give glory to him. No man, no organization, but Jesus. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And Father, as we go right now, I thank you that your angels would encamp around about us. Keep us safe and free from harm until we can meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you guys. Please stay. We've got tea and coffee. And thank people. When you got to the counter to get your tea and coffee, would you say thank you for serving me today? When I go to the shops now, that's all I say. I say to people, the cashier, I say, thank you so much for serving me today. Can you do that and just give them a thanks? Thank you. Bless you. Yeah, we've got some spare cards if anybody wants one. Take that home, put it in your Bible. Let's pray every day for God's leading in our lives. Bless you.